I almost sorry. What was that's a good way to start. What was Cigar?
It's a great intro.
What was Cigar Face's catchphrase?
Cigar Face had a catchphrase.
What did he keep calling him? Don't say the word. It was something F word.
It was the F word.
It was something F word. Oh, Jacob.
Jacob.
No. I was,
God, you're canceled.
You were what, Jacob? You were what?
I left the G out, so I just said.
Which G? There's two in there.
I didn't know. Jacob heard spells it.
One G was in there.
Jacob ends it with G-I-T when he spells it. Why that's you when you know somebody's really dumb, by the way.
He had to go invoking Cigar Face right at the beginning.
Yeah, that was a bizarro Cheech Marin, by the way.
That's funny. Welcome to Refund Theater, everybody. We'll just leave that last part out.
Yeah.
Just censor yourself. You have one of those good beeps. Give it a good beep.
Well, I really didn't say it. I didn't say the G.
Did you not?
I think we're gonna have to go back to the tape on that.
Survey
one.
Says.
Yeah.
There's no G.
Your sliding hernia kicked in right in the middle.
Anyway. Anyway, welcome to the show, guys.
Sliding hernia thing. That was kind of out of the left field for Juice, I believe.
Yeah, Jacob has a sliding hernia in his throat.
Does he?
Yeah.
Turns out.
It was actually a relief by the J-Man. But yeah. He can't swallow, which is bad for his boyfriend. but he's working on it.
Well, if that was the case, it would make it okay to say that word.
No, it's still not.
No, Mr. Garrison made that rule up a long time ago.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, with the Garrison rule. Okay. Yeah, Garrison rule. That makes sense.
I'm pretty sure that's a law.
It is. It's Garrison rule. It's admissible in court.
Yeah, because remember, Jimbo didn't get bleeped.
Yeah, that scene was fucking great. That scene was fucking awesome.
So, welcome to the show, guys. Today's pick was Juice. We had a little contest with the Twitch people here, and everybody got to vote on who got to pick the episode this week. And Juice won the vote.
Thank you, everybody.
Totally won the vote.
And then he picked a movie that was completely out of left field for me. Tell me. Why
Class of Nukem High, man.
So you're a trauma. Okay, tell me why we all had to watch The Toxic Avenger this week.
I'll tell you why. Because when I was 6 years old, I saw this movie at the local rental store, and I said, hey, Mom and Dad, can I get this one? Because my sister was getting Curly Sue for probably the 15 millionth time. And I was like, man, I gotta watch this movie. I've been wanting to watch it for a while. And they were like, yeah, that one's fine. I watched it by myself. Big mistake, Mom and Dad.
Wow.
That was child abuse.
That's kind of the thing. That's the same thing happened to me. My dad never paid attention to what I was renting. I remember I was 6 years old. I went to California for the first time because my mom had moved there. And it was when she had already gotten with Andrew's dad, Rick. But Andrew didn't exist yet. I don't
gotten
even think
with sounds like they hooked up at a fucking biker bar, by the way.
Seedy.
Wasn't that
CD
the story
motel
they told us when the...
Yeah, that's what it was. It was a George Strait concert right in the back of the beer garden.
So, I don't even think Alyssa was a thing yet at all. It was just I got out there. I was a little kid. Rick took me to a local video store in Porterville, California, and there was a 6 foot Toxic Avenger cardboard stand up, like life size. And this, you guys have seen the poster, I guess, everybody, right? With him standing there with a mop, and it's like a comic book cover. It's really, really awesome looking. That doesn't look like a movie that you wouldn't want to show to kids Yeah, and that's the problem here. All us kids saw that giant standee or saw the box, and we were just like, oh, cool, this looks really fun. It's like a crazy deform, because we'd all seen the Goonies. So we're like, oh, it's like Sloth, kind of. Well, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you get it home, just like Juice. My dad was like, all right, well, I'm going to head upstairs. Good night. Watch your movie. And I'm like,
I got lines of coke, kids. I got to get out of here.
I got lines of coke. Dude,
I wish that I would have had that experience where it was just a parent who just rented me the Toxic Avenger, just left me alone with it. Because then my innocence wouldn't have been so goddamn shattered, because this movie traumatized me for real. And it was because I saw it when I was like, it had to have been like 9 or 10 roughly. And I did not understand anything about the world, about movies. All movies were movies. You know what I mean? When you're 9 or 10, you don't know what's a good movie versus a bad movie. What's a shitty, low budget piece of shit versus a Hollywood. Like, it all, to me, it all just like basically still, a movie was a movie. If it came from the video store, it was a legit thing. Like a Nintendo game was a Nintendo game. And my dad and his wife and their friends were in the Toxic Avenger. I didn't know shit about shit. I was like, okay, we're all going to go watch a movie, right? We're all going to watch a movie in the den. And man, okay, I'm a sensitive kid. I'm just going to put this out there. I'm real sensitive. I was a sensitive boy. Like, I just don't like cruelty. Cruelty bothers me. And when those kids ran over that fucking kid,
yep,
and his head blows up like a melon, right? An 8-9-year-old, 10-year-old, whatever version of me is sitting there, because honestly, even watching it now, those effects hold up. They look gory as fuck. They look like something off of like ogreish.com back in the early net days or some shit, you know? Like, they look like some really, like, they those look Polaroids. Yes, those Polaroids. And those girls, like, they bust a kid's head open for points and then take pictures of it. And when that happens, my dad and stepmom and all their friends just bust up laughing, and I was in horror. I was like, these people are evil. I thought, oh, my family was evil. I left the house. I walked out of the house, and I remember distinctly, I just threw a rubber ball against a brick wall for like an hour, just like trying to like come to terms with like the world that I was living in. Like, these people think this is funny. There's people out here that do this. See, I didn't know this was low, but I actually really like this movie now. But I did not realize that this was like just awful, like Flock. Just ridiculous garbage. I just did not realize the ridiculousness of it. And I was like, this happened, because you know what else? Just to piggyback on this. Also, my dad and his friends showed me Death Race 2000, which is very similar in the fact that it's very goofy now. But at the time, it was running over civilians for points. Those were two movies that I saw at my dad's house that I was convinced this is just happens in the real world. And adults just laugh and laugh. They think it's so funny. They want to watch it on TV. And I just went out there and threw that rubber ball and was like, the world's evil. It's an evil place.
You weren't wrong.
I mean, I'm thrown. This is hell. This is hell. I'm thrown unwillingly into hell.
That's the mean world syndrome that we talked about.
Yeah.
Did you wonder how many points you were worth?
Oh God. Like, would my dad laugh and take pictures of my brain splattered all over the asphalt? That was probably what was going
through
my head.
Would some lady pleasure herself to you, your pictures of your dad?
Well, yeah, we'll get to all that. As I said, I saw that cardboard standee, and of course my stepdad, he didn't even know me at the time. He didn't rent the movie for me. But when I got back to Boonville, I was like, to my dad, I was like, I want to rent this. And of course I watched it. That scene was one of the first scenes I remember being like, I didn't know kids could die, you know, like when you're little, because I was that young when I saw this fucking terrible movie. I did not know
that. Yeah, I don't know if other than Death Race if I ever saw a movie where a kid died, not like that. Yeah, not in any way where it was like they're not fair game in the carnage that is ridiculous 70s flume. And 80s fluff.
I believe this was the first where I was just like, okay, a kid blatantly was murdered by people. People do that? What? You know, years later, Pumpkinhead would kind of do the same thing.
But see, that's different. Like, that's like, that's a death that made sense. The Pumpkinhead cat, you know, it's like he's the focus of the revenge for the father.
Yeah.
Like, this was just some kid. We never knew this kid. He was just riding his bike home.
In an adorable, like, NASA, like, spaceman helmet. Like, yes. They made the kid look as, like, vulnerable and pathetic as possible. Like, the sweetest kid in the world getting his head blown up. That was the worst thing because you guys said kid dies, and as soon as I saw that fucking kid on the bike, because they had just been talking about it, I was like, oh, no, they're going to fucking kill that kid, aren't they? Because you love that kid. Like, that kid seems awesome. He doesn't.
Yeah, and his mom seems real sweet. And, like,
he just saved E.T. Yeah. He just saved E.T. and now they're going to run him over twice.
Sweet kid with his cool clothes and his sweet mom. That was the world I thought existed. And then Bozo and Slug fucking rammed that fucking that dream apart.
Yeah.
Busted it like a watermelon.
You mean Corey Feldman from
Lost Boys?
Yeah, that was
the whole time. Yeah.
Bizarro Corey Feldman.
Pre-Lost Boys.
Oh, so they ripped off Toxic Avenger.
Exactly.
He's like, I'm going to be the Toxic Avenger guy.
And then Corey Feldman would star in a Toxic Avenger movie years later.
Of course he did. He's in everything.
He's in part four.
He has nothing to complain about. He's in everything.
So I guess, as Ben said, as kids, we, you know, every movie's a movie. We didn't have levels of movies. I didn't know what a B movie was. I didn't, you know, every movie I watched, you know, I thought stuff really happened. I thought this person really did turn into a Toxic Avenger when I was 6 years old.
Dumb fucking kid.
Yeah, man. And that's the thing about that. Like, I did not have the tools to understand the camp and schlock that goes on in a trauma movie.
No kid did.
And we all saw this when we were little. I don't know, Dusty. Did you see this when you were little?
Oh, like me and mom and dad sat down and watched this as a family.
After the revival on a Sunday?
Yeah. But this was our after Sunday dinner movie.
Did they tell you it was Jesus' plan?
I asked questions and got like reasonable answers back from it. Thoughtful, well thought out adult answers. Special time.
Mom, so they explained about special effects.
What's that lady doing with those pictures?
flicking his bean, flicking her bean. Weirdo.
Can I be like the Toxic Avenger, mom? You know,
you sure can, honey.
Yeah,
you already look like him.
just throw your ass out of a window.
Church and pray to Jesus, you'll be all right. See, that's the kind of thing. That's no, man. I think me and who was it? Probably me and Danny. I think watched this shit, and I remember seeing it on USA Up All Night when Rhonda Shears hosted it when. Like the really late ones would sneak in titties and stuff.
Yeah. Right. They put some black bars on it usually, I thought.
Yeah.
Like in its first few episodes, they showed titty.
Really? I remember they must have went to black bars.
I wasn't eventually. Accidentally stumbling on titties in my house very often. You know?
We didn't have any of those.
You know? So when a titty showed up, I was like, that's a fucking titty.
There's some good ones in this movie.
Yeah.
Those classic
boobies back when tits were boobs, you know what I mean?
I like that tan line. That tan line is fantastic. It's a good one.
There's a pair of fake boobs in this, the girl that
the blonde girl.
Yeah,
well, that's the thing. Damn. Like, you get the full gambit of 1980s boobs. Like, there's the nice natural boobs, untouched, they don't have to be like the perfect, like if you draw a boob, they look like those, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And then you get to see the fake fucking rock hard, looks like there's tennis balls under the skin boobies. And it's a gateway into 40 years ago, you know?
Absolutely. Golly,
that's crazy that the movie's that old.
Yeah. I also even remember when I was a kid, I didn't understand what the lady was doing in the sauna with the pictures of the dead kid. I didn't quite understand. I knew she was.
I blacked that out.
She seemed to be enjoying it a whole lot. Whatever.
Your parents never sat you down and gave you the talk about the bloodlust. And the bees.
No, they didn't. No.
That's or how white ladies just love murders.
The brains like and the thing. Bees.
I wonder, like, especially this one, if my dad would have caught me watching this, I still don't think he would have stopped me.
He would have been like, shut up.
I don't think he would
have. No. Nah.
Were you being quiet? Were you being quiet while you was doing it?
Yes.
Then whatever. Whatever. Yes. Loud and bothering me or hurting anybody.
See, Jacob's stepdad is my dad, and if my dad would have accidentally rented this for Jacob and seen any of this movie, he would have had nightmares. So yeah. That's the difference our parents are.
Andrew.
See, your dad should have raised me, Andrew.
Yeah, it would have been a great time, man. It would have been a great time.
So, Andrew, you saw Toxic Avenger for the first time this week, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that?
I'm glad it wasn't my first kid dying movie. My first kid dying movie was My Girl.
That's a good one.
That's with a sad bees. One.
Yeah, that's a tough yeah. one.
At least that one will make you think people will be real sad and, you know, upset when you die rather than flick their beans and take photos.
Yeah, at least that is now, true. At least this kid can't see without his glasses just because he's, you know.
He's got no, his eyeballs exploded.
He's got no eyeballs for glasses.
Yeah,
it was, glasses.
My bar for these movies is Night Killer.
Okay, yeah, which is a weird bar because Night Killer is a different kind of insanity altogether from the trauma slop. Trauma is like an old condom that you find in an alleyway, and then yeah. you're like, "What the fuck is on that condom?" And you're like, "It looks like a faded Bazooka Joe comic strip." And you stretch it out, and there's semen dripping on your hands while you're trying to read it. And at the end, you go, you look at it, you go, huh, okay, it's for the kids.
Yeah,
Jersey,
Joe, Jersey. It was. I mean, there were some entertaining moments. Like,
this is probably one of the more wholesome trauma movies, honestly.
I was going to mention that this movie, like my wife and my kid watched it with me, and they'd never seen it, and they were like strangely entertained. They knew it was awful. They knew it was offensive, but it has a strange fluffiness.
I've always wanted to cornhole me a blind bitch. put that shit on my gravestone. There's some great IMDb trivia. The guy with the face paint he quit the movie because they made him point a shotgun at a baby.
Wait, boy, they sure did. That's Billy Zane.
Not Billy Zane though. But yeah,
yeah,
Billy Zane. He very well could be Billy Zane.
When I was watching today, I was like, oh my God, he's pointing that gun at a baby. Like,
yeah. At a baby. God damn.
I can just see Lloyd Kaufman on the set of this being like, it's not loaded. It's not loaded.
Yeah. I don't think he's so, like, at least. It's probably not loaded.
Pulls the trigger, fires a shot into the ceiling. Yeah. Now it's definitely not loaded.
Baby would have been fine.
Let me see. Oh, the girl having sex in the locker room just had a knife next to her. So that was like,
yeah,
that's what I knew about when I knew what this movie was going to be. Like, she's just having sex. She has no clothes. She has like, her shirt is like around her waist, and the guy shows up and she's immediately got a knife in her hand. And it's like, okay. So everybody's a cartoon in this movie, but, the cigar face was wild. The two gay guys and in the gym were hilarious when Sloth runs in and he's like gonna kill somebody in the gym, and the one gay guy jumps in the other gay guy's arms.
Yeah, I saw that.
That shit was funny. I mean, there's stuff here. It's not the worst. I didn't hate it as much as I had been told that I was going to hate it.
I mean, it's real silly and it's real grungy. Has anybody here seen Hobo with a Shotgun?
Yes,
man, I love that movie. It takes. Have you seen it, Jacob?
Nope.
Oh man, you should check it out. If you have
Rutger Hauer, man.
Yeah, it's like it takes the like the grimy nostalgia of trauma, and then kind of tries to play it seriously a bit.
I mean, this movie is very grindhouse. It's a grindhouse type film, and it, like during that car when they were about to run over the kid.
Oh my god!
That line where they're talking about like what's worth what, and I was like, wait, did they just use every racial epithet that's ever existed?
Yeah, I wrote it down. I'm not going to say the words. Don't worry. I'm going to say the letters.
Say the letters.
They said J, W, N, and C. There's no J's, W's, N's, or C's.
There's no J's?
Yeah.
Give me another. Give me the last letter.
J's is just Jews.
Oh, okay. That's not a bad word. That's
what
they call themselves.
The way that they use
the way they
I know, yeah. You can say it in a way that it's a bite to it.
So. Jews!
Like that. Yeah. Okay, so what is W's? Oh, is that going to be our Latin American friends?
No, wet-ass pussy.
I was just about to say it.
There we go. Yes.
The acronym. So what was,
you know, like,
there you go.
I guess if we're being fair, we should be fair to Italians, but
yeah, it's not as bad.
I don't care.
It's a slur.
It's
light.
Not offensive to white people unless you're an Italian white person.
Yeah,
and even then, if you are offended, like other white people are like, "Oh, shut up! You're just white. Come on!" Like you had a slightly rougher time at getting in on the capitalist game in the early 1900s, but you're in now. You're fine.
You damn W.
But at this time, it was still an offensive. I think it's still offensive. I don't think Mario wants to be referred to as that.
Oh no,
but he is.
Yeah, no, but if somebody said that word now, it would be more like, wow, what? It wouldn't be less that's offensive. It'd be like, where's your time machine? Where did you come from, Archie Bunker?
What does that even mean?
Yeah, like nobody would know what that. If you called an Italian that today who's under 25, they would have no clue what you're saying.
The C word, though, I was like, oh man, I remember every gas station I ever went to, you would just hear people referring
the bell
to
the when
gas
you walk
stations
in?
As that, like, that's the blank store. And it was like, that was normalized.
Oh, that's the A word.
Is it a CH word?
Yeah.
Yeah. CH word.
Yeah. And then the other one was the N word, which is a. Tried
yeah, we know that one. That's an all-American word.
That's
right
an
there.
American staple.
Yeah, right.
Classic.
Classic.
I like how the girls like.
It's the Beatles of racial epithets.
Yeah. I actually wrote down cigar face in his R-word squad.
they're an interesting. The criminals in the toxic universe are always interesting.
Yeah. Sorry, Jacob. What were you saying?
I don't remember.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I caught myself like right when I said it, I caught that I had interrupted you. I felt bad, but I had to get that line out. So.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
You did it for the comedy. It's worth it. How did they get a kids show out of this? This was the whole time I was watching this. Like,
that's,
who was
that's
the guy?
Cool. We need to talk about this.
Need something to do.
Ninja Turtles. Ninja Turtles is what got this to be a fucking
toxic waste
kids thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the theme in the 90s. You had to have environmentally conscious heroes, which
because Captain Planet was too lame, so they had to get somebody with a little more edge.
Yeah. Well, you had to get kind of that in between for the really nasty kids. You wanted the fucking the mutant ninja turtle aspect, but you wanted the fucking let's clean up the environment aspect too. So you get Toxie and the nose guy. And Junkyard the Werewolf, like you can see where they pull all those kind of characters out of this show, and even the other ones, like Troma. I don't particularly care for Troma.
Yeah,
after like kind of right around in this area is when I kind of stopped giving a fuck because now like this isn't quite Sharknado, but later Troma stuff is 100% Sharknado. Like they know exactly what the fuck they're doing at this point. And that has no charm to me. Like I might watch a Kabuki Man movie, like the first one maybe, but I think that Monster in the Closet that we watched, me and Jacob watched.
Monster
I think it
in
came
the
out
closet?
Before this. Yeah.
Is he like, rawr?
Pretty much. When it shows up, it's got this rawr, 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 fucking noise that it makes. And it is the, it's probably the cleanest trauma movie I've ever seen. Nobody's cussing in it. It's not gory or anything, but like it scared
still makes you feel out like of slime.
Me when I seen it when I was a kid. No, it's not even, it's not, a, it's, it ends up being more cheesy than anything. It's not even a gross trauma movie, which is
like Garbage Pail Kids.
No, like it's no, Garbage Pail Kids is even grosser than Monster in the Club. Monster
really?
It's a very weird movie. Yeah. Yeah. It's oh, goddamn. There's an episode about it. Listen to it. I think it's pretty funny.
By the way, I was a little offended that they say that Melvin weighs 98 pounds. Because I'm shaped like Melvin, and I don't weigh 98 pounds.
He's pretty short.
Like all that. You didn't like all that offensive material about skinny nerds?
Yeah, I had a real problem with it, to be honest.
Just write on Twitter about it.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I'm going to blow up the trauma headquarters. I'm sure they have a big headquarters.
Cancel trauma.
Yeah. I feel like
hashtag.
I feel like they didn't have to, and I understand this is their style, but I feel like Melvin didn't have to be such like a hey, brush my teeth out weirdo. Like I feel like he could have been just a normal this ugly skinny kid. You know what I
no,
mean?
No, no. I mean, here's the thing though. Back then, any guy that looked like that was completely okay. ridiculed yeah. in that manner yeah. back then. Like I remember people being in circles around people making fun of them, calling them names. Hell, I was one of those kids once at one point in time. It's a thing that they do. Like these 1980s
making fun
bullies.
Of the other kids or the kid getting made fun of?
He was making fun of the other kids.
Yeah. Poor Melvin.
Yeah, Juice was in the circle.
Look, I was on both sides of that circle. I'll be honest. I was a bully in elementary yeah. school. I was bullied in middle school. So
one time, all right. did kids give kids dead legs when you guys were in high school in school? So they just walk
they just
up to you and
they, the back of the kick you in the back of the knee.
Well, they'd walk up to you and just put their knee into your thigh. Basically, they'd knee you and your leg just goes dead. Well, somebody did that to me in middle school, and I like literally hit the ground. It's terrible. It sucks. And so when I hit the ground, a guy who I'm actually friends with now, but he ran up and he goes, "Hey, everybody, point and laugh!" And everybody pointed and laughed at me.
Oh, you just reminded me what I was going to say. It was the points thing. I thought it was funny when the girl, they see the kid on the bike and she goes, if we get the kid and the bike, do we get extra points? And I'm like, it's a kid on a bike. If you get the kid, you're going to get the bike.
Yeah, it'd be a miracle to only get the kid. You got to bunny hop the car or some shit. Yeah, you should get extra points if you only get the kids.
Yeah, that exactly. You should get the extra points. Yeah.
How about fucking Bozo? I'm stressed.
I'm stressed here, man.
Golly, give that man a bag of cocaine already. He needed it.
I know he has too much cocaine. Give that man some fucking Klonopins. Yeah.
Put that man up with a big old bottle of vodka or something. He needs to come
Xanax.
Down.
Xanax.
Yeah.
Meditation.
Yes. Horse tranquilizer. He needs something stronger than that shit.
No, this guy.
Man. Jacked the fuck up.
Him and his crew, they hang out at this gym all the time and they just fucking cause trouble. And at night they go and kill people. And
well, but people like them though. They're kind of like the popular kids yeah. At the gym. People seem to be.
Well, I got a Dromaville here. Dromaville, population like 15,000, I think it said.
Yep.
This is a town full of garbage people. Like there's for a town of 15,000 people, there's a lot of crime in this town.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a very small town. You shouldn't be getting that much crime.
It's Gotham City Light.
You know what though? It is in New Jersey though. And in New Jersey,
W words.
I've driven through New Jersey and seen billboards that say, "Hey, people in this city, please, please stop killing each other." So, you know, maybe this is a little more close to home than
it's got a picture of James Gandolfini and it says, Tony Soprano says killing each other actually isn't cool or something like that.
Oh, he's like, they're Smokey the Bear.
Yeah, it's Tony Soprano.
Only you can prevent gang violence. Yeah.
Got peace.
So apparently
it's a gun.
Yeah.
Apparently, cornhole me a blind bitch guy, the black guy, was actually a one-armed man.
Oh, really?
Oh, which surprised me.
I thought that was a really good looking, because usually if you one-arm somebody, you can always see the bulge.
I thought I saw the bulge. I think in my mind, I was just wrong.
No. Wow. Well, you're wrong.
I guess if you watch it before that, and I didn't notice this, but if you watch it before that, he never moves one of his arms because it's a prosthetic.
Wow. I'm going to have to like recheck that out.
Yeah. But yeah, you said one of the greatest lines in movie history. So
that's very inclusive.
It's speaking very inspirational. You know what I mean?
Speaking of that blind bitch, did anybody else have a little childhood crush on her? I thought she was so sweet.
Dude, she's cute as hell. She really is.
I loved her so much. She was the innocence that, like, her and Toxie, like, I came back in and was like, yes. When I remember the, you know, I don't know. I probably didn't go out there for an hour. I was a kid, now that I think about it. So I was like, no, I remember the guy getting his head cut off at the gym. And I definitely remember, let's see if you got any guts. Cause I was like, good one, Toxie. Good one.
And I remember being absolutely disgusted by that dude's guts.
Yeah.
It's like, and there were good looking guts. It's some good looking brains and shit in this movie.
Dude, hey.
There's some nice practical in this flick.
The effects are completely rad. And back to it, the blind girl thing. I think this started a long standing obsession with, like, I don't know if media did this to me, but like, I always, the idea of like getting with a cute blind girl that would like me for
you know, that's the only way she'd like you.
Exactly. I was always like, I understood that. Didn't Zach Morris have an episode like that in Saved by the Bell? Can anybody back me up on that? I think Zach Morris had a blind girlfriend at one point. And I always just kind of was smitten by this. And actually, Ashley and Gracie, when they watched this, they were like, totally like thrown off by the fact that this romance happens in the middle of this movie, they were especially thrown off by the pumping scene.
Sorry, I'm just now seeing the fake arm now that you know it. And
oh, really?
For it. Yeah, okay. It's very, very obvious. It's just like the hand looks like a big rubber hand. Wow, like, that just goes to show you that. Lloyd Kaufman knew. He's like, the audiences aren't going to be looking at his arm. Trust me.
Who fucking is?
And he was right. I've seen it several times, and I just now noticed that.
The funny thing about the blind girl is she also had to have been a little dumb or a lot dumb.
Oh, she's a bimbo, they even said at one point.
Well, yeah.
He's got a bimbo.
And she can't hear very well because she never knows what's going on, even if what's going on is completely audible.
She's trauma version of blind, which
she's
is
she's Helen Keller.
Yeah. You know, she also, the way she acts and interacts with even tacos in front of her face, I think she went blind like that week. Like she's new to it.
It happened in that moment.
Yeah.
When her dog was shot.
Her poor dog, Carrie. Also, that special effect was very believable to me as a kid. And I thought that she shot a dog.
Oh my God. It's still kind of rough.
It was gray spaghetti. Kind of rough, huh? Kind of rough.
Everybody in the living room was like, did they just shoot a dog? Like, yeah, they did.
Yeah. Hey, that was gray spaghetti, it says on the fucking
French fried arms, fingers.
Palms are sweaty. Gray spaghetti.
his girlfriend in the part where the dudes are like, I think all the motorcycle guys are like sexually assaulting her. She's like, my boyfriend's not going to appreciate you touching me this way.
Yeah. It was really awkward. Like,
yeah. Yeah. You should also probably not appreciate the way they're touching you.
Whatever happens, happens. Cause you're blind, right? I mean, what are you going to do?
not put up a fight in this movie. That's for sure.
If I can't see what I'm punching, what am I doing? I'm just gonna look.
These ladies in this movie, though, like there's like a very, it's a divide. You're either very innocent and mm-hmm. like cartoonishly innocent, or you are the worst type of human being yeah. that's ever existed.
Yeah.
It's what and that. You're acting like a therapist here and you don't even know it, Juice. I'm like, yeah, that's why it shaped my worldview. It's very black and white. It was just there's good and there's just evil. My parents and their friends were evil.
Well, I mean, yeah. And the type of people that not only would kill these little kids, but also play a prank on a guy that results in him being covered in toxic waste and dying in front of you. And you and everyone in the gym is still standing in a circle laughing at this motherfucker.
Even, that was the 80s.
It was the 80s. Juice, you are not wrong. After we've watched so many 80s bullying incidences and movies, man, they were... No wonder I feared for my life when I had a bully every once in a while in the 80s. Like, I really thought they would kill me. And this is the reason why.
Oh, dude, Ben.
Yeah, bullies in the 80s were murderers. Yeah, they were all attempted murder.
You talk about the Garbage Pail Kids, Ben. You remember when we covered that episode? Like,
yeah.
like that fucking bully in that movie, Juice, I think was his name. Actually, I think
that was his name. Is it really?
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so. I think so. That's
yeah, great. And no, he almost kills this kid just because he hates him. You know,
well, shit. Like, in Goonies, the bully in it. Grabs Brandon by the side of the car and just like launches him off a fucking cliff into the woods. It's like, yeah, that kid's dead.
Yeah.
And that in the Goonies, those adults are trying to kill those little kids too.
Yeah.
The 80s were, how did we survive, man? There was America's Most Wanted where like kids were getting kidnapped every 5 seconds. And what was happening?
Just roaming the streets at night, swapping children.
There's asbestos everywhere.
Mm hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was dangerous.
Paint chips. It's fucked up.
It's because the previous generation had lead paint everywhere and caused a bunch of psychopaths, and we had to run from.
Yep.
It's an insane asylum. America's an insane asylum.
I tried to explain that to an old man the other day. I was like, you know, a lot of scientists think that your generation sucks because there was so much lead in the air. The conversation didn't go well.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
We have a society have fucked up many times. What was it the other day? We watched a movie. I forget what the movie was called, but it's about those girls that used the glow in the dark paint to paint the clocks. Anybody heard of this back in the day? It's something girls. It's on Netflix.
They were the ones that painted the glow in the dark material on watches for like soldiers or something. And they all fucking ended up sick as shit.
They all ended up losing their jaws and shit because the place would train them. The place would train them to lick the tip of the paintbrush before they painted every time. And they were
fucking stupid.
They were eating this toxic radioactive shit, and it killed a ton of people, and it fucked up a ton of people's lives. And of course, the company, you know, like I think it's uranium. I think it's Uranium Girls. I think it might be. Or I'm getting close. That's close to what it is.
You know, you've watched everything on Netflix when you're down to the fucking clock painting movie.
No, man, it's a good movie. It's
you're defending it. Did you cry?
No, man, it's serious.
I might have cried.
You know, you cried.
It's never a happy time.
If something emotional happened, and they played some music underneath it. I probably cried. So
this movie definitely got you because the music was constant. Does not stop from start to finish.
The soundtrack to this movie thumps, dude. There's I might even jams. Look it up and like try to find like a YouTube mix or something. Because
what was that first one called? Body Moving or Body Talk?
Body Talk.
There's one called Is This Love by Race that apparently was unfindable on the internet until 2011.
Wow.
Wow.
And it's on YouTube. I used it as the intro to this podcast on Twitch. Fellers, if you're listening, you're not going to hear it on the episode. You got to go to the VOD on Twitch. But
maybe I'll put it at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Is This Love by Race? It's a fucking banger.
Is
apparently, Race did not know what this movie was going to be like.
Oh, that's a lot of
yeah, I can bet.
That yeah. it was the working title was Health Club. And they were like, really? Yeah, you could use our song. And then afterwards, they were like, what the fuck is this?
Fucking toxic.
I wish I had a time machine just to go to the theater to see this movie. Because I want to know, like, how many people took their kids. And I want to see the reactions in the crowd. Like, that's... Because this movie really does trigger you, no matter who you are. In some way, it's going to set something off in your brain.
Especially in the 80s. Like, I feel like via this podcast, this movie wasn't as shocking to me as it would be to a normal human being. Like, we've watched so much trash, and, like, we had that fucking horrible horror movie run, and we had all that shit. So, like, this movie was like, oh, man, they're really going to kill that fucking kid, aren't they? Oh, man.
You're desensitized.
That sucks. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm completely desensitized. But a normal person, or especially a normal person in the 1980s, watching this movie in the theater, like, I'm sure this was shocking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think if you were under a certain age, because honestly, yeah, looking back, sure, my dad and his friends would probably, if I had kids, they'd probably get traumatized at me playing hobo with a shotgun and laughing at shit going on at that. Like, ah, they cut his head off, while your kids are like, Jesus Christ. So, I mean, you know, it's just, what I should have had was a parent to sit me down and be like, hey, this is all just a dark, like, sick joke. You got to understand, kid, this isn't real. This kid didn't really die.
Yeah. It looked like they actually, the monster actually, like, when he was making a sundae with that guy's face, like, except for obviously he didn't actually hit him with the fucking milkshake machine, but, like, that looked like they actually did that to a human being.
They did.
I think they did.
That seems horrible.
You got a low budget, man. You have to. I mean, like, they made a sundae on a guy's face, and that guy had to sit there and go through that until cut.
They milk-ordered him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's yeah. That's what we said. They're like, they waterboarded him with milk and ice cream and shit. That's fucked up.
Cream. And you're teaching kids this, and then kids are doing this. Like, I don't know if you guys have heard this Plano, Texas story yet, but this black kid that was forced to drink urine and shot with a BB gun at a sleepover by his football team.
God damn.
Yeah, it just happened. Yeah, that was this week. I had that in the back of my head while I was watching this. I was like, no wonder we did crazy stuff. You know, like, if this was in our base memory as human beings, like,
yeah,
what other stuff that, like, this really did damage us? Like, I don't think there's a way around that. Because I would not ever show this movie to my children. Never. Right.
There's plenty of movies that I watched as a kid that I can say kind of shaped who I was, and I'm glad I watched them as a kid. Even R-rated movies. But this right here, the whole time I was watching this for this show, I was like, I should not have been allowed to watch this.
It's worse than Clockwork Orange.
That was another shocking moment that I recall, but that was at Jacob's house, and Jacob was not there with me.
Oh, I ducked out of Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, I watched Clockwork Orange at Jacob's house by myself.
I was like, oh, these people are raping this woman in front of her husband and singing songs while doing it. I'm going to go play Street Fighter.
I haven't seen that movie, but I'd like to now.
Oh, you should definitely see Clockwork Orange. It's an important movie for you to think about how terrible human beings are. And this the Toxic Avenger is like the kids' version of that.
Well, hey, I'm gonna be, you know, devil's advocate here. We talked about the music and how it kind of plays throughout the movie, which gives it a very cinematic feel. This movie is not badly, like, put together. That's the thing.
It looks way better now. Like, on YouTube today, this movie looked crisper and cleaner than I've ever seen it look in its entire life. And it actually looked pretty decent. On VHS, it looks a lot scrubbier.
I wonder if they remastered it.
Well, and I'm not even saying that. I'm just talking about the editing and how it moves and the sound.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
There was the car chase scene in which I actually stopped and thought, was like, whoa, they actually shot like four or five different angles and cut them together fairly well to where, like, it tracked. I was like,
talking about somebody... when the car goes off the cliffs.
No, it was whenever. No, I do want to talk about that like here in just a second. Yeah. Whenever they're, I think it's just Bozo driving through town like beforehand, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But no, when the car goes over that little cliff, that the little one, there is a guy just strolling along who just barely gets out of the way of that car hitting him. It was like gross negligence from an insurance standpoint. Like,
well, and apparently
almost got hit by a car.
Apparently that crash almost killed a stuntman.
Yeah, I wouldn't
die in the car.
Yeah.
They didn't just ghost ride this car off a cliff. There was a guy in the car. Like, and it's like, because they, and it says here that the car was rigged to allow the vehicle to drive straight with the gas pedal to the floor. And it's like, okay, then don't put a human being in there.
Just put a dummy in there.
That's yeah. The thing, though, you don't know about Lloyd Kaufman. That's
yeah, it's got to look real.
He's that type of guy. And he was one of those shiesty businessmen that, like, he didn't know much about making movies, but he saw the money in it. And he started, you know, just throwing anybody he could at it. And it's,
it wasn't like completely. I thought, I remember because I read his book and he was like,
well, you know way more than I do, so please.
I was just from what I remember, he was like,
just my
I don't think he was a mentor or a mentee to Roger Corman, but I think he was like, I thought he was like a big follower of Roger Corman.
You're right. And like, he worked on Roger Corman movies.
Okay, so yeah, he got his start that way and just wanted to get, but he did see how Roger Corman was super profitable by making low budget movies.
Right. Right.
And with that, and like decide, I mean, he's not a great filmmaker. Neither was necessarily was Roger Corman. Roger Corman knew, just like we're talking about Toxic Avenger. It's just competent enough to pass as a real movie and still be like bottom of the barrel discount bin.
Exactly.
And it moves along briskly. Like it's the, like when I watched it today, I was like, I think we're at the end, and we were at the end, and it just, I didn't feel like there was a whole lot of fat on this movie.
No, there was, except for the mayor, am I right?
Yeah, he was like, what a cow. And that brings me to another one of my favorite 80s movie tropes, the fat girl in the exercise class eating. She had a bag of chips and a big old chocolate bar.
That really is a trope in these 80s movies.
Yeah. They had everything in this movie. Like, you guys remember Stefan from SNL? Like,
yeah. This movie has everything.
There really is. There's a little person that dies in a horrific way.
And she was adorable. Yeah. She was the cutest little person ever.
Yeah. She's washing her son's jizz pants.
There was a lot of jizz on those pants.
A lot.
Yeah,
because he's so stressed.
But
hold on, please.
She was the ringleader to a worldwide slave trade.
Yeah, she was really evil.
Dude, I'm sorry. I have to
like,
just
because it was like, why the fuck did he do that to that old lady? And then it took, no, she was one of the worst fucking scum on the planet.
And honestly, like, oh, whenever shit, I found out, when it turned out it was Bozo's mom, I was like, well, good. Bozo's terrible. He got that way for a reason. Sure,
that's true. Fair enough.
I know. I missed that. I didn't catch that was Bozo's mom.
She says it like right before when she reveals the jizz pants.
Okay,
it's something I can't remember if the guy mentions it or if she says Bozo gave me these to clean. I think that's what she says.
Okay.
But she named her child Bozo. Fuck her. It's probably because she worked at the circus.
Yeah, her son beat an old lady to death. Like him and his friend. Like
very Clockwork Orange. It reminded me of Clockwork Orange when they beat the old lady up, and it's funny that we're talking about that now.
Go ahead.
No, go.
What's up with the one random Nazi cop?
It's a trauma movie. There's got to be a Nazi in every trauma movie, I swear.
But also, that's just where they went when they came to America. Look at where we are today. This movie is really just telling the world what we were doing. Like,
yeah, it kind of was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like cocaine. On the rest of the TV, like the mayors and the police chiefs are all the heroes and stuff. And he's like, no, really, they're snorting bags of cocaine, making hand over fist, like fucking everyone over in the environment. Yeah.
And people were like, no, they're not. But it's like, Troma knew. These guys
Troma knew
what was going on. Toxic waste, just dumping it.
Yeah, we're headed for a Troma world, man. They're warning us.
We're here now. Fucking Nazi cops.
he's like, everybody's talking around him, and he yells something in German and does a Hitler salute, and then he does the fucking Curly from Three Stooges shit, trying to pull his arm down.
He does the heel click too later.
Yeah, he does. It's just the other line was Bozo. Another line that I wrote down was Bozo at the beginning, where he's like, take a look at that fucking guy. Mop boy. Can't even mop right.
And he really couldn't, though. He was like mopping people's faces in there.
Yeah, he was really bad.
He dips the mop into the fucking, into the spa when they're in it, and they act like he fucking pissed in it.
I mean,
you want me to get a disease or something?
He ain't wrong. Like, I would be very caring if that happened to me. I'm chilling in the hot tub and somebody slaps me in the face with a mop.
And make me run some fucking innocent people over with my car.
I'd prank a kid too, make him make out with a lamb, or whatever that was.
Dude, he thought the lamb or goat or whatever that was the woman. Like, how dumb is Melvin?
Melvin's pretty dumb. And honestly, I guess being like getting wasted on toxic, like burned by toxic waste, not only made him a credible Hulk, but it also made him much more it made him a lot more like
charismatic
in the way he speaks
and matured him.
Yeah, matured him, made him smarter, made him much more suave.
Yeah,
passionate. That voice.
Why did his voice get like more tolerable? Like,
yeah, he's there's no going, like, Melvin left.
And then he's like, "Hello, sweetheart. I'm a monster. God damn it."
Which also doesn't make sense for the costume of Toxie, that voice. Like, you're waiting for him to talk, and he's like, "Hello there." He's like, he sounds like a discount Walmart Superman.
Yeah, he's an all-American hero, man.
You can hear him true. Breathing.
He sounds like a fill-in to Space Ghost. Like, I meant to look at
yeah.
You see who does his voice or anything?
Yeah, I want to know.
I assume it's the dude that played him. But yeah, he's sounds.
Oh, it's David like Attenborough. I should have known that.
Yeah, that's who it was. That's who it was.
Vincent D'Onofrio almost played Bozo in this movie, by the way.
Looks
that like, would have been great.
Mitch Cohen?
There was a guy who looks a lot like Bill Paxton in this movie and the gang that busted into the restaurant, the one-armed man and Billy Zane and Bill Paxton. Yeah, was
that was Bizarro Daniel Tosh.
yeah, he kind of like a smushed Bill Paxton.
It does work for Bill Paxton. Yeah.
Josh Wolf.
One of my favorite IMDb trivias of this movie is while shooting in Shinbone Alley, a homeless man stole a prop gun from one of the trailers and threatened the crew.
It sounds like a trauma.
Shooting in Shinbone Alley.
Why didn't they put that in the movie?
Yeah, that's like something out of The Simpsons. Like, that's where you get, that's where the homeless steals your guns and try to rob you in Shinbone Alley.
Well, you don't shoot movies down in Shinbone Alley.
Yeah, things worse than death.
Oh, you gave him a gun, huh? Oh, well, that likely would happen to you down in Shinbone Alley.
Don't take your boy down to Shinbone Alley.
Hey, guys, I know I took off for a second right when you started talking about it, but I had to mention the little person.
We're done.
When she's at the dry cleaner, Toxie comes in. He fucking just shoves her. that shove, like this giant person coming in and shoving a little person.
Like, and what was great, because they used a dummy, so he shoved her extra hard. He just whopped her into that, not whopped like whop, like whopped her into that, that laundry machine.
No, there's like a before he actually does much to her, like, he gives her this tiny, like, a nudge. He comes in and he's like, "Hey, you motherfucker." You know, he's like, he pushes her.
He, like, kind of butts her with his belly up against the counter.
Yeah, yeah.
He knocks her by her head because she does turn around like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, yeah. He, like, pushes her head. It's so fucking... It's so... I thought Dusty would get a kick out of that.
Speaking of little people, though, did you see who's playing Toxie in the remake?
But they're doing a remake of this?
How? Talking about a remake. It's Peter Dinklage
as Toxie. The Toxic Avenger.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to work.
In the role of a lifetime. My
video is not rolling.
Definitely role of a lifetime material right
Lil
there.
Toxic Avenger.
I don't know what to make of that. I know that we're... Listen, man, we're equal opportunities, but some roles are not meant to be.
Like, yeah, it's just
as Gary Oldman shouldn't have been playing what he was playing.
Yeah,
retaliation.
I don't
for
think
that.
Peter it's, Dinklage. Is, that's I'm gonna have to see how that all comes.
We're gonna put him in tall and still.
Yeah, he tried out for the role that Gary Oldman got in Tiptoes. So this is where this is his. I'll get you back, motherfuckers.
Yeah, maybe they'll put Gary Oldman in it.
He's gonna wear stilts and like those extendable hand things that like the Henson company uses, and he's gonna be running around as Toxie.
He's gonna be standing on the dwarf's shoulders. This is total dwarf washing. I don't like it.
I just don't.
I heard he's gonna have a cheekbone removed, so his eye droops on one side. He's not gonna do like prosthetics or CGI.
Is this just going to be him playing Melvin, and then when he gets toxified, I guess he's going to bulk out? Because I just can't. It'd be more like Leprechaun, if instead of Toxic Avenger.
Listen, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not trying to be any way about it, but this is strange.
A little tiny Toxic Avenger.
Let's see if they have any details. Maybe they'll CGI him. Like, he'll be... Like,
or they'll do like the Hobbit thing and do like a forced perspective where he's giant.
Forced perspective.
No,
they should do that.
I was thinking that would be the best way to do it.
Oh shit! Just make a tiny little town and hire like 500 little people.
I don't like this.
Oh man!
Animate him. Just use him like. Like do motion, like actual like video capture of him, but animate him like the Fantastic Mr. Fox. That way you can just like size him up in the movie, but he's got this weird like stop motion animation to him.
It's gonna be a $350 million movie.
I don't think it's, man, I'm looking at it right now. I'm really torn. The guy who's directing it, I really like this guy. But I don't think, like, immediately when I look at the,
who is it?
It's Macon Blair. He's an actor. He was in Green Room and Blue Ruin.
Yeah.
And he did, he directed a movie on Netflix called I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore, which was pretty good. But this description says, when a struggling everyman is pushed into a vat of toxic waste, he is transformed into a mutant freak who must go from shunned outcast to underdog hero as he races to save his son, his friends, and his community from the forces of corruption and greed. I don't know about this whole son thing. This feels
they're
a
bringing
little,
a son into
bringing
it.
A,
fucking
gotta bring
Christ.
A kid into it, man. Gotta reboot it with a kid.
Maybe they'll run over the kid.
I hope so.
This is getting ridiculous.
what if it's actually in continuity and it's Toxie and his blind girlfriend and Dinklage is the son that he's having to save?
That'd be
okay. I'm okay with this. I'm okay with that.
If Dinklage plays an 11-year-old kid, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Give him an Oscar for this one.
Holding daddy's hand and shit like that.
Yeah. 6 months old in the movie.
Like, if they ever do like a biography of Warwick Davis, I don't expect Hodder Kane to get the point to get the role, you know? Just some things aren't meant to be.
Why not?
Ben, did you just call him Hodder Kane?
What is his name? Kane Hodder.
Yeah, it's okay.
It is
whatever.
A proper way to do it.
Jason Voorhees.
Yes. I was just making sure.
Horror midget movies. like nope. like little Jason, little Michael.
I would watch every Freddy, single
little,
goddamn.
They already made, we already watched little Michael the other the, like around Halloween time.
Oh fucking! What's that kid's name?
Dag Fairch.
Dag Fairch, fucking great gig, bro. Check out his mixtape.
My name's
Check out his rapping.
I'm a rapper.
He'll sell meth at Trey the Park.
But dark shit.
Come on the corner.
Dude, I wonder, so like, right now I'm looking right at the scene where the shotgun is pointed at the baby. And there's the woman holding the baby. At, like, even that person, like, should be held accountable for this shit. Like, this is this is fucking
twisted. I mean,
it is twisted. It's and dude, I guess the 80s and the 80s, yeah. You could get away with anything, man. Like
murder, nothing. Apparently.
You could literally get away with anything. And you know, the
I feel like blowing up the kid's head is a little worse than pointing a shotgun at a baby.
No, because at least we knew that was a watermelon. Like when you rewatch that, it's like
it's probably not a real shotgun.
Hey,
yeah, and that's
real, like a real
all
shotgun.
That, all that baby knew is this dude was acting like a fucking spaz, pointing something in its face. Like I think that kid, yeah. That kid wasn't acting. That kid didn't get a cue from the director. It was like, all right, kid, now freak the fuck out. No, it was that guy. Go fuck God, you fucking baby! I'll fucking put your fucking head
on. Okay, so that's an angle I didn't consider. I didn't consider the fact that he likely agitated that baby.
Agitated's probably on the light side of that. Like,
baby doesn't remember shit.
Where is that baby doing?
That kid
now?
Is fucked up today. We need to track this kid down and be like, how are you, man?
That kid looks like Ben Savage.
You know?
I think that baby might be Ben Savage.
Funny. Isn't it a Latino?
It was Ben Savage.
Yeah, I think that's one of Ben Savage's earliest roles. It looks just like Ben Savage.
Isn't it a Latino kid?
He didn't look Latino to me. Looks like Ben Savage.
Looks like Ben Savage.
Is Ben Savage Latino?
It was probably a W word.
It was probably...
I do get them confused a lot. They're the same to me.
Ben and Fred?
Well, no, I was just saying, like, Italian people and, like, what were we saying? Hispanic people? Was it Latin? Whatever.
Yeah, they're similar roots there.
Yeah.
Same skin tone. Ben, that is very close Ben just sent us picture of Bill Paxton side by side with Crazy Guy from the who kept kissing that girl really aggressively on the cheek. In the Mexican restaurant scene,
when he turns his head, though, totally Daniel Tosh. You're not wrong.
Yeah,
when he turns his head, it was Daniel Tosh. But when he first was like straight up, I was like, "Hey, is that Bill Paxton?"
Yeah,
who knows what he got up to in his early career outside of Weird Science?
Have you seen One Crazy Summer?
Oh yeah,
recent enough to remember it. You remember Bobcat Goldthwait had a brother in that movie? That's who I thought that guy was the whole time. I had to look it up, but it wasn't him. But he's got a brother that looks just exactly like that dude.
This movie is filled with faces that almost seem familiar.
Yeah, they just they just watched movies of the 80s and were like, we got to find a guy that looks like this guy. This guy will be too much. We can't get him.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah. I can't forget to let this slide. The scene where Toxie's peeing... And he's like that thick stream of toxic goop. And then the pimp shows up with the 12-year-old girl.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that was like a, 12 I bucks, think that was 12. A reference to Taxi Driver.
I tell you what, 12 bucks. You know what?
Yeah.
I mean, what a fucking bargain. Am I saying right?
That is true. That is true.
No, I'm just saying, how's he even making money if you're only charging
12 bucks? Is not a lot of money.
How's it even worth it for him to pay all those people in that limo?
Maybe he has 12 12-year-olds each making $12 a pop, you know, generating.
It's like, that's his thing. Every villain in this has a thing. He's like the number 12.
Yeah.
Well, darling, it's your 13th birthday. You're going from me to Mr. 13. Yep, Mr. $13.
This guy's licking his lips. I'm going to make $13,000 off of you.
Jeez, this movie. So that was depraved.
That's the thing about this movie. It's completely depraved, but it's somehow got a light, strange light tone that makes it more okay than other movies I've seen that are this fucking depraved.
Toxie's chasing that girl in the sauna and they go underground and it's like the place from Us. And like, where is he chasing her?
I liked when she was sitting on the bench in the locker room and you see him kind of sneaking in and she kind of looks back, doesn't see anything. Then he just slides out from underneath the bench and he's like, murderer!
Yeah. Well, and I also like that, like, he's going to kill the fuck out of that girl, right? But then another girl sees him and she's got a towel on and he's like, oh no, I have to stop everything I'm doing to be polite to this girl. He's a fucking good dude, unless you suck. And then he'll kill you.
Yeah, he's killing all the bad guys for sure.
He really is. I did feel by the end of the movie that Toxie truly was, you know, he wouldn't hurt me.
Right.
Not little 10-year-old Ben. Wasn't going to hurt me.
Dude, what about
he's going to get you out of the street.
Yeah, he's going to take care of my dad and his friends.
He's a Punisher. He's a friend.
I tell you, I was working at Sonic Drive-In once when I was like 16. And, the Friars. I was hanging out around the Friars, and I
thought you meant the dudes of the little like fez hats.
No, I accidentally dropped.
Oh, wait, no, those are the Shriners.
About
the Friars. There's a Friars Club, so like,
yeah.
On one of my first days, I accidentally dropped a chicken strip into the fryer water. No, I mean the grease. Without thinking, I went to grab it immediately.
The fryer water.
And I put my hand in that shit and it really sucked. And
you put your hand in the fryer grease?
Yeah.
In the fryer water?
Yeah.
The hot fryer water? Were you Melvin?
Yeah.
Are you Melvin?
Is that
a thing?
God damn it.
Anyway, so like watching this scene where this dude gets his hands permanently put in the fryer water. It's grease. It's not water. We'll call it the fryer water. But.
Yeah,
fryer water. Please,
but
please.
Yeah, because I only.
I like how you made it sound like we all accidentally said fire water.
I put my hand in
right into the fryer place,
and the second my hand realized it was being toasted, I pulled it out. So it was only a second, but man, my hand was like beet red for a fucking day. But this guy. I could see where that, because he dies, like they just fry his hands until he dies. And I could see where that would just give you a fucking heart attack. I mean, that's like, it's terrible pain.
Yeah. I used to work in a place with a fryer and one of the guys, you had to take the grease out into this big, it was terrible. This big, metal, like pot, I guess.
Yeah.
You would pour it into this, like there was like a grease trap by a trash can behind the place. And apparently the guy was like, whoa, whoa, like fucking like Steve Urkel or some shit, and got it just all over both of his arms and had to go to the hospital. And he had his arms like bandaged up for I don't know how long, but like.
Can I share a relevant story?
Hell yeah.
When I was 19, I was working at KFC in Boonville, and Chance Farley, anybody remember him?
Yeah.
He worked at that KFC. And so there's like a big boiling vat of boiling grease that they just put the whole chick, you know, like the big chicken pieces in. They're just like in a bunch of trays, like hung on top of each other. So it's just like a big operation. It's not like the small ones you have at McDonald's where you dip your fries in. It's like a big vat. And so to add to it, you scoop out lard and you have to just like slowly and gently just place it into it and it slips off and becomes part of it.
Yeah.
Well, Chance Farley thought it'd be fun to like be like, hey, check it out. And he like a hook shot, like in basketball, and like it splashed on the side of my face. And I had a Melvin moment. I ran to the bathroom in KFC screaming fuck the entire time at the top of my lungs. There was people all in the dining area.
Yeah, because to get to the bathroom, you had to go past the bathroom.
Well, they had to pay for my hospital bills because I went to the bathroom and the side of my face was bubbling like Melvin's fucking arm. God. Like, and my skin was just melting off. He came like a centimeter away from blinding me permanently.
My God.
Fryer water ain't no joke.
Yeah.
Fryer water ain't no joke. Jesus, I'm glad you're okay, Ben.
Thanks.
And they only want to pay these people $7 an hour.
Yep.
Dave, well, he didn't even get fired. He didn't even get fired for that.
Well, these are the people you're paying $7 an hour, you know.
He didn't get fired, but you got fired. About Ben.
I got fired big time.
I'm not talking about Ben. And it was on the 4th of July. I'm talking about old Hoop Dreams over here.
It ruined our 4th of July plans because it was on 4th of July. Ain't going to have a bottle rocket war with a bunch of first degree burns on my face.
Well, you missed the fireworks, but you got the fryer works. You know what I mean?
Start a firework war with a third degree burn. Let's just
can't start a fry without some lard.
Yeah, tell Ray that. You remember Ray Ballister? Like, he lost an eye at one of those bottle rocket wars. So maybe that saved your eye.
I don't think he lost an eye. I think he hurt his eye. But I don't think
he's blind. I say he's lost an eye, but like he can't see out of that eye ever again.
Shit.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Badusty?
What?
I said Ray Ballister, if you hear this, fact check that for us.
No, he came over to my house. We had a whole conversation about it. Cause that's the thing about the Boomville fire or bottle rocket wars, man. There was like a good solid 3 to 5 years there where that happened every year, and it was a huge event.
Yeah, I loved it, dude. We should have had goggles though.
Somebody always got fucked up.
Yes.
Yeah, the back of my neck got blown up a lot of times, but that was like, if that's the worst that's going to happen, all the fun you have.
My favorite thing I ever saw was a bunch of kids they camped out up in the gazebo, and they turned over all the picnic tables, so they were like forts basically, you know, like, and they could, you know, peek out from behind the picnic tables and shoot, but if somebody shot at them, you know, they got a barrier there. But the gazebo had a roof on it, and you know those giant mortar fucking things that come with a cardboard tube that you shoot into the air. Somebody shot one of those into the gazebo, and it was all bouncing around in there, and everybody had to like run out, and like we like stormed the gazebo and like took it like it was the fucking U.S. Capitol or something.
My friends and I used to cut those mortars up. It'd take like 4.5 hours, and we'd cut as many of them as we could up and fill something up and make a bomb out of it. We did that a bunch of times. It was almost got thrown in prison, but it was
fun. We bring it in here.
Explosives.
Yeah.
Ben, you busy? What's going on?
What's going mute yourself, goddammit.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, dude. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
You're good. Don't worry about it.
Not with your pants down.
Don't you? Isn't it weird that Melvin didn't go to the hospital?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
he ran away from home.
He ran away on, like, in flames, goes home. His mom thinks that he just discovered masturbation and is proud of him. And
even though there's green ooze and steam coming from under the fucking door.
Great transformation scene, by the way.
Yeah, it was a great transformation scene. The strange thing is, though, he leaves the house and she never even saw him leave somehow. And he's all growling and giant.
Super stinky, bro.
Goes on a tour and a montage happens. A couple of montages in this movie.
Oh, yeah. There's some good kills in this movie too.
Yeah, my favorite's got to be the weight one.
Yeah,
that was tough. That shot, yeah. Tongue looking up out. At it. Yeah.
Yeah, with the tongue, dude. That looks so real back in the day.
And that dude was hateable. So like, I just didn't like it. I didn't like the way his face moved. I guess like,
yeah, there was a lot of guys looked like that in the 80s. Just like these mustachioed, black haired guys that just look sort of like the 60s Adams family, Gomez Adams, but not with none of the charm. You know, they all just sold coke and wore tight fitting polo shirts and they were overweight.
Super sweaty, rapey vibes.
They all look like the sketch artist drawings of like police work. That's what they look like to me. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Like the suspect.
Yeah. The Speaking of sweating,
this had to have been the hottest set ever. Everybody is like dripping sweat, and
especially
movie.
The mayor. God damn.
Yeah.
He died of a heart attack at 48. Yeah. 44.
But even the scenes in like the gym, like you can see people just like glistening with sweat, and you know it's a gym, I get it. But you know, even the scenes where they're like hanging out, like you know, just around the lockers or something, everybody's just coated in sweat.
Well, there's all the cocaine and cheese sandwiches. Apparently, the cast and crew just were steady eating cheese sandwiches like three a day when they made this movie.
Fire festival much?
Yeah,
they were steady eating cheese sandwiches.
they were so sick of them by the end they threw them off a cliff in like a ceremony. Apparently, like
that was all their budget would require.
Yeah, I got a bunch of these cheese sandwiches. Ah,
quite literal craft services there.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, 100%.
It's kind of weird that the movie saves like the reveal of Toxie until the masturbation scene when he fucking confronts the lady, you know, like
that's
like,
way into the movie too.
Well, and they like even like blatantly when he meets his girlfriend and like they come in or she comes into his house, like he's backing up as he comes in the door and everything. It's like they're blatantly not showing his face. It's like not even any cleverly hidden or anything like that. They're just like, Toxie walks backwards for this scene just so you can't see his face. So then I guess they were going for some kind of like shock when you actually do see it. But I mean, it's just kind of weird. And there really is no shock when you see it. You know, it's just like, that's exactly what you expected him to look like.
Well, plus he's on the cover looking that way. So
that's the poster. Like,
and you see it in the transformation scenes too. So like they kind of show you what it's about to look like. And the funny thing is though, normal arms. He just had like, he's got the mask shit going on. He's just got normal buff guy arms now.
God, hey, it's better than what he had.
I remember when I was little seeing the superhero aspect of this, and I get, see, that's the fucked up thing. When they did turn this into a cartoon and a video game, it didn't seem weird to me at the time, because I was like, of course they did. Toxie's a superhero. Like, finally they realized Toxie's greatness, because like back in the day, Toxic Avenger 1, 2, and 3, I fucking loved every single one of these movies. And I watch it now and I realize how fucking terrible and stupid this is. But I followed this like it was a legitimate superhero movie back in the day. You know what I'm saying? It just
That's all we had. Kids, you don't know how lucky you have it to have WandaVisions and all these other superhero movies that you hate because they're not exactly what you wanted.
I'm jealous. If anything, I'm jealous that I'm not a kid now.
Yeah.
Like if this shit had been out when I was a kid, like I would have been all in because I wanted this stuff, but we had Dolph Lundgren Punishers. We had like doughy Captain America's made for TV movies.
Dude, that 1990 Captain America movie is like one of the worst things I've ever seen with my eyeballs.
Yeah.
Pure bullshit.
But yeah, this is
that
what
was
we
me
had.
Crying for my childhood that didn't get to have that stuff. Oh man!
And then when we did get a comic book movie, guys like Dusty, who actually read comic books, were like, "That ain't Batman."
Well, it was Batman enough for me.
Yeah, I was fine with it.
Oh, I still love that you're not Batman. You know this.
We can't all be right, can we?
No,
I mean,
actually, Dusty, forever. You know what? When it comes down to it, Dusty's been like the one that came out on top, because like now, like all those opinions like are popular on the internet. Dusty was the original cool guy. He was just like, that's not really fucking Batman.
And the original cool guy.
Nowadays, OG. You see fucking actual like dudes that, you know, read the comics and stuff with podcasts and TV shows and shit, and they're like, yeah, that's not Batman. He's never been represented properly on screen and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, shit, my best friend said that when I was 10.
Dusty was the first hipster. Congratulations. Out of the field, Dusty.
Yeah, yeah. Here, let me curl my fucking mustache.
How do you feel about a non-craft beer, huh?
Why don't you move to Portland?
Yeah, tell us your hot takes on coffee.
Is for liberal cucks.
Well, that 12-year-old girl, I don't think she was 12. She looked a little older.
Well, I mean, but yeah, even still, just the storyline itself, like it was an unnecessary scene.
He was a bad guy. But that's what I'm saying. The guy was a hero in the movie.
You know, maybe that was Jeffrey Epstein or his dad or something.
That could have been. He's like, I got an idea.
Yeah. Epstein funded this movie.
Yeah, he watches the movie. Like,
the movie spent more time on the 12-year-old scene than the movie spent on the 12-year-old scene.
This movie was just one long grooming session.
That's what it was.
Weinstein watched it and he's like, it's good, but there's nothing I could jerk off to.
Oh, the dog was okay, but...
Oh, you guys, speaking of blind people.
We weren't, but go ahead.
We weren't, yeah.
I didn't see that one coming.
We just watched this.
Nice.
Hold on. Let me see. Let me see what this movie's called. Juice, what was that movie I told you to watch the other day with your kids?
Oh, something about a squirrel. Some damn squirrel.
It's that squirrel movie.
Ulysses and squirrel.
It's that fucking squirrel movie.
Alvin and Chipmunks.
Flora and Ulysses. It's this cute little movie. I think it's on Disney Plus. It's a Disney movie. Number one, it's got this new actress. It's this little kid actress, and she is charming as fuck, and she's wonderful. God, what was I going to talk about this movie about? Holy shit, I lost my
train. Blind people.
Bring it back. Thank you so much. Okay, yes, I'm watching this movie. There's a blind kid in this movie as a character, right? And he is the funniest little motherfucker I've ever seen in my life. And they use the whole blind thing as like, just they really, it's hilarious.
They just really make fun of blind people.
He has this scene where, you know, the scene in this movie where she's like, can I touch your face to see what you look like, you know? And you know, she does that. They do that in every movie. And like this blind kid, he runs into the little girl and like he's like, can I touch your face to see what you look like? And she's like, sure. And he's like feeling her face and he goes, boy, that just doesn't really work or anything. You know, he just like he's like, I can't get enough. You just feel like a face. It's all squishy. That's all I get.
Does he have a British accent?
Yes.
I could hear you do like a blind British accent right there.
He's a little British blind kid, and it's fucking hilarious.
Hello, governor. I can't see.
But anyway, yeah, after she feels his face, they have sex, and this is a really...
She doesn't just feel his face.
No, I'm talking about the Toxic Avenger.
Fuck, I thought you were talking about the Disney Plus movie.
No, boy, you need to connect them. That's better.
Sorry.
I need to screenshot my face after you said that.
Had a little bit of beer. I didn't put a transition there. My bad.
Did this little British kid fuck
it? This Disney Plus movie?
He never
the squirrel joins in. Anyway,
it gets real wild.
This sex scene, my wife, she was very uncomfortable by all the pumping. Because it cuts back to Toxie like thrusting into this woman like at least three or four times, and
more beautiful. It was more believable than the Wire sex scene, so I'll give it that.
I'll give it that.
Who knows?
At least they weren't all moaning together and stuff like that. Oh, Toxie.
His pants were in a place. Like his pants were so up, his dick was not out.
Well, what about the pee hole?
Yeah, but he would have. Okay, well, at least the top wasn't unbuttoned, so he would have had to just unzipper.
Have you never done that?
In the
just unzipper? No, that's weird, dude. That's like
dangerous.
Yeah, teeth on both sides, Jacob.
There are ways that's dangerous, but there's also ways like if your pants just like if you need to get it done quick. You can't just have your pants around your ankles in case like you need to, you know, get out real quick. You know what I'm saying?
But you don't unbutton the top button.
Well, then your pants are going to fall down.
Oh, it's because you have no ass.
I don't have an ass.
Dusty, what were you saying about it?
The zipper? This conversation is irrelevant because in the cartoon they established that Toxie has like a mutated prehensile dick that can just kind of come out.
The cartoon.
That's, see, I think that was in the Genesis game.
It might have been in the Genesis game. Yeah, it was in some of the peripheral Toxic Avenger stuff. You don't remember that episode,
Andrew? I actually, once again, more Toxic Avenger living at your house shit. I rented this video game, the Toxic Crusaders video game on Nintendo, when I was staying with mom, and it was a terrible game, absolutely terrible.
Really? That's not that surprising. What the fuck is that?
Was it like
THQ or Avenger?
That's some toxic
LJN.
Shit,
that's how it works.
Yeah, it was like an LJN type game. It was just one of those games where you like walk from side to side and beat people up. And you know, he had a mop and stuff like that. I was really upset that they kind of took his tutu away. I thought the tutu was pretty iconic.
Mm-hmm.
When did they take it away?
It was a cross-dressing.
Well, I guess they didn't like that on the cartoon and the video game.
Yeah, it makes kids sissies.
Yeah.
You know, we can't have that.
It was probably a bunch of 9-year-olds. I don't want a fucking tutu.
Yeah, he's got a tutu. I mean, but yeah, they had action figures. I remember getting... I never thought in a million years I'd get a Toxic Avengers action figure, but I got one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. It was
all based on a hard R-rated movie. Like most of our toys, apparently, back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, dude. They had Alien versus... They had Predator figures. I mean...
Did they have a figure for the cross-dressing criminal that was doing high kicks?
I love that guy. Absolutely love that guy.
They might have.
No explanation for this dude. He is just... He is who he is.
It was like a gang of gays, right? Wasn't it the whole thing?
A gang.
Garface
was in that gang. I don't think Garface was into labels like that, Juice.
These guys are going beyond labels. Like, you can't be like, oh, they're a gang of gays. They don't identify any words that you could pronounce because these guys are on a new level, man. They're starting their own thing. They're just being themselves.
I don't know, man. Cigar Face really liked that one word.
Yeah, that's why he got so much.
But that's because that's their word, Andrew.
It's self-hate.
They can use it.
Cigarface puts you in a box. You don't put Cigarface in a box.
Exactly. Exactly. Now you're getting it. Higher learning.
Boy, he got his balls dribbled.
Yeah.
Tell you another movie. I think another movie that this inspired is The Crow.
Wasn't expecting that one.
I mean, like, it's even got the scene where Toxie, it's the T-Bird scene where he's in the car with him and he makes him crash and shit like that. That's in this movie with what's his name, the main bad guy,
Bozo. I don't remember that part in The Crow. I don't remember a whole lot of The Crow. I remember like sadness and darkness and then the guitar.
I fell asleep while you were watching it and it was really late at night. So I don't know.
And we smoked a lot of weed that week.
That's the thing. We were
a lot of weed.
That probably would have made this movie better when I was six.
We smoked more that week than I have since that week. And that was last August. So
that's pretty awesome. Yeah, we definitely high as fried apple pie.
But yeah, anybody got anything else before we wrap this shit up?
Nah.
Yeah, Juice, as the person that picked this movie, did you get kind of what you wanted out of this episode?
Absolutely. This was fun. but more than that, I finally get to talk about something that I feel like now that I think about it, it did mess me up. But today when I was watching it, I was laughing so hard. And stuff that I
just like Ben's parents.
It's just dark.
This was probably a healing moment for you guys.
It felt much more innocent and funny this time around. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I get it.
Jacob, would you recommend the Toxic Avenger?
Dusty, are you muted? I heard Dusty talking about it. Anyway, Yeah. Yeah, I would recommend the Toxic Avenger. It's fucking batshit insane. It's gross. It's a time capsule. It is the gore effects are amazing for a movie this age and of this budget. Whoever they got to do that, even the blood, like the blood looks real, which is crazy for a movie of this budget. It's stupid, but it's got heart. It's got a hot blind girl that was my imaginary girlfriend for a while. I enjoy it. Yes. Highly recommend Toxic Avenger. And watch part 2 and 3 if you enjoy this one, because they're fucking bad.
What about 4?
I don't
skip 4.
I don't recommend 4.
I bought 4, not having seen 4, because it was like $6 on Amazon. I was like, yeah, me and the wife will quote air quotes do some beer and we'll watch something funny. And it was like, oh, Toxic Avenger 4. Like 6 minutes in, I looked over at her and her face was just pure disgust. I was like, yeah, this is not working out for the vibe at all. And I've never put it back on and watched it. It was 4chan levels of offensive. You know what I mean?
Hateful to the next level for
real. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was funny. Really mean-spirited is a light way of putting it.
Yeah.
So the funny thing about the Toxic Avenger 4 is it was made 14 years. I'm trying to do math. Yeah, 17 years. Jesus Christ.
Got it.
That's not a mistake you make. It was made, I believe, 17 or actually no, because it was made in 2000. So 16 years after the first movie was made for the same budget as the first movie. But they still had to pay Ron Jeremy.
And Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman was in this one. And these guys, the Sklar brothers made a cameo. Stan Lee made a cameo. America's sweetheart James Gunn made a cameo. Hank.
James Gunn like co-wrote it.
Yeah, James Gunn was the writer.
Al Goldstein, Eli Roth was in that movie.
Yeah, it's a really man. I remember. I was just like Ben. I was excited. I was like, oh man, they finally made Toxic Avenger 4, because they've been talking about it for years. And then I watched it and it just really seemed like they were like, you know, I guess they felt like they had to top everything, and they really went too far. And that's me saying that. I watched some shit. And Ben,
when did it come out?
Ben, I know you'll watch some shit.
When?
Ben definitely watches some shit, and for both of us to be so offended, I don't even think I finished it either.
Yeah, it was real offensive to like people with mental deficiencies and stuff like that. You
that
know?
First scene in school, oh my god,
that's when we turned it off. Like we were on a trip, and we were like, whoa, no.
Like
no.
Way more interested in watching this movie because you guys made it sound like it's somehow going to offend me, and I'm excited.
It may. I mean, here's the thing. It just, I was in a state of mind in which I was very sensitive to like vibes, and I was like, no, I'm not doing this. Like the edgiest kid on a Reddit thread.
Oh,
with extra gutter slime on it.
It became a different kind of humor. And you know what?
It's a troll movie.
The fact that it puts Eli Roth in there, that makes perfect sense, because that's kind of what Eli Roth's entire career has been, is a fucking, you know, edgelord troll kind of.
Yeah, because I hated Hostel. Like, absolutely hated that movie.
Listen, Hostel, Cabin Fever, what's that movie? Green Inferno. Every single one of his movies, they want to gross you out. They want to be offensive. I mean, it's the
Green Inferno was so bad, I honestly could not tell if it was like
trying to be funny.
Yeah. Like because that fucking pancake scene in Cabin Fever.
Yeah.
It's so weird and funny and made me kind of like that movie when I got drugged to a theater to watch it. I was like,
every time I think of that movie, that's the first thing I think is pancakes.
Because it's the only fucking good part of it. It's the only good part of that movie is the pancakes kid.
You're right.
And it's just weird out of nowhere. But like, has anybody here seen Green Inferno?
No.
Holy shit. It's bad. It's like, it's just so bad. We should do it sometime. That's how bad it is.
You know what? That's the thing, Ben. It's when you say it's bad, nobody here that hasn't seen it understands what you mean.
Because, it's just
because it's, the it's not yeah. it's not like a badly made movie.
No, it's, well, I mean, it oh, is no. and it isn't, but it's also like it's bad in that it can't pick a tone. I can't tell if these actors are trying to act.
That's the Eli Roth.
In a way, or if yeah, they're Eli, really just Eli terrible Roth, actors.
I think yeah. that's the Eli Roth being, and I think that's why he's in the trauma shit, because
it's like Tarantino without any of the actual talent and
right.
je ne sais quoi that makes it all work.
And trying yeah. to make movies that you know are based on the stuff that influenced you, which is trauma shit.
The funny thing about the Toxic Avenger 4 is that it has, well, it's tied with the Toxic Avengers for the highest rated Toxic Avenger movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
There you go.
It has Toxic Avenger, fans.
Toxic Avenger 2 and 3 both received negative reviews, and this one, number 4, has a 70% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So you
well, let me just say this. When Toxic Avenger 2 came out, for some reason, they had advertisements for it on the radio. Never on TV, but on the radio. And they would talk to people, I guess, in New Jersey who just got out of the theater and interview them about the Toxic Avenger and play little sound bites in these ads. And it was always just these like New York sounding ladies like, oh, I loved it when every talks he beat the guy's head like a basketball. And I was just like, what the fuck kind of ad? What is this? That's why I started thinking like, maybe these trauma movies are like not legit, you know? Maybe they're not like
maybe stuff. Like maybe
they're the only ones yeah. that are radio only.
Yeah, this is it's homegrown stuff. And that's why I applaud this movie for being as competent as it is. I'm sorry. We got way off on your recommends, Andrew.
We're so fine. You're fine.
I'll say continue on that. But yeah, I think the guys just added to my recommend, because that's the thing about this movie. It's gutsy and it's charming. Go ahead.
It is gutsy. Dusty, you recommend this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben, do you recommend this movie?
Yeah, to every 8-year-old without an adult present.
You want everybody to have the same trauma you do.
Yeah. I don't want the world to be better off.
And see, Ben, that's why abuse keeps happening.
I know.
There's
I'm gonna perpetuate that shit.
There's a few people I'd recommend this movie to. I don't know how popular it would be amongst a lot of the people I know, but sure, you know what I mean? Like, it is fun. I've always wanted to cornhole me a blind bitch will be in my repertoire for the rest of my life.
Imagine if you ever, like, what if you meet the person you end up with and she does have, like, vision impairment? And like, she's like, it's slowly losing it. And like, you're just like, oh God, you know, I got to be there. I got to be a supportive husband. And like, one day it just happens. You're like, hey, we tried to fix it, but we couldn't. She's blind. And she's like, will you ever love me? And you get to look at her in her eyes and she doesn't see shit because she's blind. Yeah. you get to say, honey, I always wanted to cornhole me a blind bitch.
That's the thing. Like, that's, I will be sitting in that thing, and like, if they say she's starting, as soon as he gets blind, I'm gonna go. I don't know why.
Relationship over.
I view this as a much more romantic moment, and Andrew's like, you know, having sex with his blind woman for the first time, and she's like just now getting free enough to where she's like, talk dirty to me, Andrew. And the first thing that comes to his mind is a flashback to this movie, and he says the line.
I will.
And she loves it and starts fucking like coming hard.
It'll be just like the Hawaii episode.
Yeah, nobody. We'll start.
Syncopated.
Yeah, nobody who I would date would get overly offended by me saying some shit like that. So I think we'd have a good time.
Yeah, that's how you know it was meant to be.
Yeah, I've always wanted to see how hard she laughs at not seeing them and not having seen the movie when I say that line, because I laughed the first time I heard that line. So we gotta see
if she laughs. Show her the movie time. before she's blind. Unless she won't get it.
Well, isn't cornhole the ass?
Yeah, yeah. But that's not how I say it.
Okay.
It's whatever you want it to be. It's whichever hole you want it to be, Jacob.
Yeah,
no, it's like that's a I don't view a vagina as a cornhole.
Okay, well, it could be your mouth, yeah. Too. You eat corn with your mouth.
It probably should especially be the mouth.
No, because it all goes back to Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back when Judd Nelson says, let's go back to the station house and cornhole us a drunk.
That's not where that movie, that line was coined.
I know.
It's not where it was corned.
That's where I go back because I'm like, well, they're obviously going to fuck some dude in the ass.
Juice, you got anything? You got anything to add to cap this off?
Look, show this to your parents, kids, and make sure that they understand how terribly offensive this movie should have been before they show the movie to you. So watch it with your parents.
Show your parents and say, they made me watch this at school.
I learned it from watching you.
Start some drama. Okay, well, thank you for listening. Fucking Jeff, thank you for kicking it. Gibbons, thank you for kicking it.
Juice, oh, hey, everybody. I didn't know you guys were here.
Juice, hell of a pick this week. I liked it. Oh, yes. We have to pick who's
next.
Oh,
we got to do the pick.
Juice, did you come up with a way to do that?
Well, I did, and then I forgot, so I'm going to come up with a way right now.
Okay.
I had to deal with we got a Sony VR, and I had to hook it up for the boys so they could.
Had to hook it up.
I got to say, I'm rolling Toxic Avenger 2 right now, and I forgot they replaced the girlfriend for 2 and 3. And
yeah, I'm sad.
She's okay. This new one's okay, but I really like the first one.
She doesn't quite have the innocence of the first one.
First one's very charming and innocent. She's wonderful.
Okay, you're gonna pick a color, and depending on the color you pick will be the order.
Okay. So you're left with whatever we don't pick?
Yeah, but in what order do we pick colors?
Well, damn it. Look, guys, I was on the fly.
You're fine. Well, we'll go Jacob, go first.
Purple.
Is there a purple?
Well, I was going to give you the color options. Like,
good. I was hoping he was going to give us options.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe they don't have purple.
Pick a color in all the spectrum. It's chartreuse. No. Well, Jacob, you picked purple. That's fine. We're sticking with purple. That was one of the colors. There is also on the table brown, light green, blue, and dark green. So everybody pick one color.
Okay.
So what was say it again? Sorry.
You got brown. You can't pick purple. It's already chosen. You got brown. You got light green. You got blue. And you got dark green.
Oh, man. No pink? All right.
No pink.
I'll go light green.
Everybody knows Ben always goes for the pink.
I always do all pink, right. Ben. Fruchsia.
Dusty.
Okay. Pink.
Blue.
All right.
You know I gotta have that brown, baby.
All right. So the dark green. Okay. So that. All right. So here's how it goes. Purple, I only had one of. So that means Jacob gets to go first.
Oh shit. Well, he's not here, so we'll lie to him.
I was forced to have dark green, but I really only had a extra blue one, and so I just combined these two.
Oh, those are the two.
That's dark green. Yeah. So second, and then third was technically blue. So whoever picked blue, was that Ben?
That's Dusty, I believe, right?
No, Dusty. And then I had three light green. So that's
goddamn, I'm last.
Yeah, and then you got four browns.
Never pick brown. Never bet on brown.
never.
I figured it was juice. Brown was going to be number one.
That's racist.
There you go.
No, he's racist for not putting brown on. So hey, we got.
Wait, I'm sorry. I had to leave the room for a second. Did I hear that I was picked?
You're number one.
No, you're fifth.
Number one.
Yeah.
Shut up.
You don't even get to pick this time. You picked so bad.
Yeah. So we got. So I believe it was Jacob, Juice, Dusty, Ben, me. Right?
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. I'll write this down. So next week we got Jacob. Jacob, did you think about what you're going to pick?
Oh, guys, you know, it's true. Everything I do it for you. We're going back to jolly old England next week for Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, starring Kevin Costner.
Okay. Is this motherfucker
God, like a 5-hour movie? 5-hour movie.
Is this movie?
No, it shouldn't be that long, right?
That's like 2 hours.
Oh, I think God it's longer than the Justice League movie that's coming out.
Let's look at that because I'm curious how long this movie is.
I won't make you guys watch the extended cut. The extended cut is not good. So
as long as shit.
143 minutes.
Ooh,
fuck.
220.
23. God damn it, Jacob.
Dude, I used to love this movie as a kid, though. I saw it in theaters.
I'm excited. I like the cost. Oh, sorry.
I like the cost.
I like the cost. I'm a big cos guy. I'm a cosplayer. You know what I mean? I am on board. But God damn it, that's too long. It's too long.
No, all of these movies are like that.
You guys forget. Fuck Kevin Costner. This is one of Alan Rickman's greatest performances.
I love him.
No, Morgan Freeman, Christian Slater.
Wait.
This is where he plays Hans Gruber again.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, Christian Slater. One of the greatest lines in the movie. Christian Slater. Also,
I was like, pump up the volume, Robin Hood.
Alan Rickman's line of, you know, he's like, I'll cut your heart out with a spoon. And then his cousin goes, why with the spoon? And then Alan Rickman goes, because you idiot, it'll hurt more.
That is pretty good, but it's not going to do anything for me when I actually watch the movie. Yeah. So thanks, dog.
You'll enjoy it.
You ruined it. Yes. Instead, let's watch Robin Hood Men in Tights.
No.
Yeah.
Tights.
You can pick that for shorter. Feel free to pick
it.
We'll just do five Robin Hood movies.
All of them.
I think there are five Robin Hood movies.
I guarantee there's five Robin Hood.
We got to do the Disney one.
I love that.
I'm pissed I'm fifth because I picked my movie yesterday and I'm excited for it. And I was going to do like beloved movies, but no, I'm going for something at least two of you is going to hate.
Excellent. Well, I'm excited to talk about Robin Hood. It was a big part of everything.
Okay. Well, I'm on board. But yeah, once again, Gibbons just popped back in. We love you, Gibbons. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on fucking TikTok. Follow us on Facebook, even though Facebook stinks terribly. Follow us on
Twitch. Patreon.
Join the Patreon. You get to pick TV shows. 2 weeks ago, we did Highway to Heaven, which was a delight. Last week, we did The Wire, which was a conversation. And
it was
then,
a mixed bag.
Yeah, and then this week we are doing the last episode of Dinosaurs, Disney's Dinosaurs.
More childhood trauma.
I don't know who's going next. We'll announce that on the Patreon. But yeah, if you subscribe to the Patreon, you get to pick an episode for us to do, and we will do it for you, an episode of television. And then join the Discord, motherfuckers. And if you don't know how to join a Discord, or if you don't like have the link to the Discord, we've tweeted it before. If that's expired or some shit, I'll probably tweet it again, or just DM us on anything and we'll get you that link and we can have some fun. So I was long winded, but
yeah. Hey, you know, thank you guys. We appreciate you.
Yes.
And you can either take the window or take the stairs.
I'm gonna take you away one soft night. Show you that love in my way feels so right. But how can you think love's not real when you don't even know how it feels? I'm gonna make no mistake, loving you. I'm gonna show
Slow.